Well, all right. Tonight, if you have your Bible, and I hope you brought it with you, let me say this. You know, I appreciate these audiovisual aids. I appreciate technology. I know some of you have one of those iPad and all that. I don't even know what to call all of it. I'm still stuck in, you know, the 20th century, I guess. But I tell you what I like. I was raised where everybody bring their Bible. They'd have them to hold them up. So if you have your Bible tonight, hold it up. Will you? Let me see your Bible. I love to see those Bibles. And I tell you, we ought to be a Bible people. That's what we said about Southern Baptists, about the Baptist faith, that we are people of the book. And I would tell you, you young people need to carry that Bible with you. Need to carry the sword with you, you know. And I hope you'll bring it, because that's what we do. Every time we come to church is we do Bible study. I want you to learn the Bible. You won't remember what I said one of these days, but you will remember the Word of God. If I can plant that in your heart, then that's what you know. It don't matter too much what I know, but it does matter what the Bible says. You know, my first song I learned to sing was, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, this I know, what? For the Bible tells me so. So I want you to bring your Bibles, and I hope you'll do that. Bring the prayer meeting. Every time you come to church, you ought to bring your Bible, because you don't know whether I'm saying is right or not. You need to check it out, you know. And so I hope you'll bring your Bible. That's what we've been doing the last several months, and I've gone through several Bible studies since I've been here. Went through the book of James. I don't know where I'm going. I did one on the life of Joseph not long ago. Pretty soon I'm going to do one in Abraham, the life of Abraham, the life that wins. I'm thinking about Romans, praying about that, teaching and preaching through the book of Romans. But that's what the church is. We are a Bible study group. And we come to worship, but we worship around His Word. And see, asked me this past week, she said, ask me this, Chris, Craig, she said, whatever happened to the scripture reading you used to do? I liked it when you read the Bible before on Sunday morning in the order of worship. And I like that too. The fact is, we just got so many prayer requests and announcements and things, but I think she's right. It's wrong to let the Word of God be crowded out. And we ought to hold the Word up. We ought to hold the Word up. It is given the place of prominence in the house of God, is the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to take up in Acts chapter 25 and 6. I want to talk to you real quick about how to share your faith effectively. And what we do, we've been following Paul now. He's on his third missionary journey. He's been under arrest. And he comes to Caesarea. I want to say that probably one of the most frightening things that any of us face is sharing our faith with an unbeliever. But this passage tonight, these two chapters show how to do that effectively. And I'm going to make 3 points. But it's been 2 years now. Paul has been in prison, and he's stood before Felix. Now Felix has been replaced by another Roman governor. His name is Festus. And when 3 days after Festus arrives, the Jews want to transfer Paul to Jerusalem as a favor to them. But he said, I'm going to Caesarea. We'll hold court there. And so, since Paul knows a trip to Jerusalem to him would be fatal, and he appeals to Caesar. He's been escorted 2 years early. He's been escorted by 470 soldiers, Brother Harold, to Caesarea to await trial. But we take up reading tonight in Acts chapter 25 and verse 1. And 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. They urgently requested Festus, as a favor to them, to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing to ambush to kill him along the way. And Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me and press charges against the man there if he's done anything wrong. And after spending 8 or 10 days with them, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. When Paul appeared, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many serious charges against him, which they could not prove. Then Paul made his defense. I've done nothing wrong against the law of the Jews against the temple or against Caesar. And Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial there before me on these charges? And Paul answered, I'm now standing before Caesar's court where I ought to be tried. If I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I'm guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. And after Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, you have appealed to Caesar you will go. And by the way, this means this fulfills a promise that was made to Paul in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, where the Lord told him in 23:11, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Anybody know why Paul wanted to go to Rome? Rome in Paul's day was the place everybody wanted to go. It was the center of the world. There's a marking stone in Rome today. And it is said that from that stone, the roads lead out to all roads lead to Rome. You've heard that. And it went out to all the territories from Rome. Everybody wanted to go to Rome. Paul wanted to go to Rome. Why did he want to go to Rome? Because Rome was a strategic place. And Paul knew that if he could ever get to Rome, it'd be like New York City, or Los Angeles. They are media capitals in our nation, I guess. New York City and probably Los Angeles, media centers. And Paul knew that if he could get to Rome, that he could send the gospel out to the whole world. And Paul writes a letter to them. He writes the book of Romans. And he said to them, beloved, he said to the saints in Rome, a church that he had never visited when he wrote that letter. He sent it by ship. He gave it to a lady by the name of Phoebe. She was going, and she took that letter back to the church in Rome. And Paul said, I plan to come see you. That's my heart's desire, to go to Rome. And so God told him, one day, Jim, you're going to Rome. And the Bible says here, he says here in Acts 25, you've appealed to Caesar. To Caesar, you'll go. To Rome, you'll go. Now I'll make 3 points about how to share your faith. First of all, I want to say Paul shares his faith. That's what he wanted to do, to share his faith with these powerful people. First thing I want to say is wait for God to present the opportunity. That's the first point. Wait for God to present the opportunity. The Bible says a few days later, verse 13, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. And since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, there's a certain man here whom Felix left as a prisoner. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. I told them that it is not Roman custom to hand over any man before he faces his accusers and has had an opportunity to defend himself against their charges. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but convened the court. The next day ordered the man to be brought in. When his accusers got up to speak, they did not charge him with any of the crimes I expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus whom Paul claimed was alive. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters. So I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. When Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear this man myself. He replied, tomorrow you will hear him. All right, I want to say first point I made was how to share your faith effectively is to wait for God to give the opportunity. After a few days, after Paul's appeal to King Herod Agrippa and his sister arrived in Caesarea, they pay their respects. Herod Agrippa II ruled the northern kingdom of Palestine. His father had killed James, brother of John. His grandfather was Herod the Great. Anybody know who Herod the Great was? He was the man who had decreed that all the boy babies, all the little babies would be killed in Jesus' time. But anyway, he was of Jewish descent. And the Romans considered that King Herod Agrippa, that he was an authority on the Jewish religion because he was of Jewish descent. Festus does not understand Jewish things at all, But he tells Agrippa, he talks to Agrippa about it. Agrippa said, I'll hear the man for myself. Paul waited two years for this opportunity. And Paul was ready when the opportunity came. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, be always prepared to give an answer to everyone for the reason of the hope in you. And I want to say this. Not too many people interested in what you believe, but they interested in how you behave. And that's one thing to get you here before other people, I think, is not what you believe, but how you behave. And so we need to live in an attractive way. I believe this is one thing that got Paul a hearing before Agrippa, is he lived in an attractive way. And we need to do that. How do we do that? I said, Kevin, when I came here, I promised this church two things. Anybody remember what they were? Preach the word. Love the people. That's it. Preach the word and love the people. And I believe that's how we'll get a hearing. John 13:35 says, by this all men shall know that you love me. What? If we love one another. And really, Francis Schaeffer said when Jesus said that, he gave the world the right to judge us by our love for each other. And I have witnessed to a lot of people in my time. Some of them were unbelievers. Some of them were hard-hearted. But I tell you what I've seen, Kelly. I've seen God break down the most hard-hearted unbeliever. As I prayed with them, I've heard people cry when I prayed. Even the most hardened unbelievers. You know, the Lord can penetrate that. The Holy Spirit can do something like that. When you reach out to people in love and compassion, the Holy Spirit can penetrate the hardest heart. 1 Peter said 3:15. Let me say this. 1 Peter 3 says, be always prepared to give every man a reason for the hope in you. But the second part says, do it with gentleness and respect. When you witness to somebody, you're not to act holier than thou. That's not the right attitude. You're not supposed to take a Bible, Lydia, and beat people over the head with it. You're not supposed to tell them. I've seen some say, well, turn or burn. That's not the right approach, is it? That's not what you want to tell people. But Paul did this. When he witnessed these people, he did it with gentleness and respect. And though Agrippa didn't know it, Paul was just waiting on the opportunity. God opened up that opportunity. So that's the first thing, first point about witnessing to people. Wait for God to present the opportunity. Number two, have a well-prepared testimony. We read here in verse 23 of chapter 25. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp, entered the audience room with high-ranking officers and the leading men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa, and all who are present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I have found that he'd done nothing deserving of death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I brought him before all of you, especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it is unreasonable to send on a prisoner without specifying the charges against him. Then chapter 26, then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. And he gave him his testimony. Here's what he said. Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand trial before you. You think that's a good thing for a prisoner to say before a judge? He said, I consider myself fortunate. He was using a lot of tact and diplomacy there, wasn't he? He said, to stand before you as I make my defense against the accusations of the Jews, especially so because you are so well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. You're a learned man. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. And then he tells them, verse 4, I won't read every verse of it, but anyway, he tells them in verse 4, he talks about the manner of life that he's lived. He tells them, I'm on trial for what God promised to our fathers. It's critically important. The big point was the resurrection here. He said, that is, why, verse 8, why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? And that was a big point of contention there. And Agrippa knew that all Orthodox Jews believed, Brother Harold, in the resurrection. They would have to believe that because they believed that Jesus was the coming. They believed in the Messiah. They believed in the coming Messiah. And that was tied to the resurrection of the dead. And it was the hope of all Jews. Job said in Job chapter 19, Hudson, in verse 26, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and one day I will see God in my flesh. Now, Job 19, 26. That was the hope of every Jew. Agrippa knew that. Paul knew that. And so Paul, as he talks to him, what he tries to do, in verse 9 now, he tells him of his former life. He said, I was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus. And that's just what I did in Jerusalem. And on the authority of the chief priest, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many times I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. And then he tells about his conversion experience. This is good. He said, on my way, on one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. And about noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice speaking to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I won't read it all, but that's what happened. He told them about his conversion experience. He shared, first of all, he told them about his common heritage, about his mutual sin, and then about his conversion experience. Let me say real quick. First step in witnessing, build common ground. Build common ground. Simply let people know how much you love them. He didn't go in there to fuss and fight with that guy. He used some diplomacy. I would say if you can build common ground, one of our ladies told me today, and one of the best comments I ever got, and I told Celia, we got in the car to go home, and she said, this lady told me, said you can talk to most anybody. Said, my husband has been busy, we said, you can talk to most anybody. And I try to do that. I try to build common ground with people. And one of them is that, you know, I don't ever talk down to people. That's the second thing. Don't talk down to people. Don't talk down to lost people. Because we are all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:22, for there is no difference. And verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin may be different from mine, but we are all sinners. And I may have one list, you may have another list, but we are all sinners. And so first thing I say is build common ground. Number two, never talk down to people. And then I want to say, Trish, the third thing is have your testimony ready. I mean, have it ready. Be ready. Have a well-prepared testimony. Because that's what Paul did. He talked to him about his life before Christ. And then he talked about that time, Mike, when he saw his need of Christ. And he talked to his life. And that's, you can do that. Just tell them what happened to you. Just say, this is what God, this is where I was. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And you ought to be able to, but all of us. Now everybody, John, don't have a blinding light. Did you have a blinding light? Did you hear a voice? When were you saved, John? How old were you? 8 years old. Not too many little 8-year-olds see a light or hear a voice. Like Paul did. They don't have a dramatic conversion. I didn't have a dramatic conversion. I, like you, raised in the church pretty much. Wanted God all my life. But I can tell you this, I do believe today. And God's been so good down through the years. And I do have a testimony to share. And life is so good, Maddie, because I know Jesus. And we ought to be ready. When God gives us that opportunity this week, and it'll happen to every one of you, I promise you, you'll get an opportunity this week to witness to somebody about your faith in Christ. God's going to give you that opportunity. And when He does, you ought to have a well-prepared testimony. And say, this is what it was like before I knew the Lord. And then I realized my need. And now this is the life. This is what God has let me experience in my life. And so in verse 20, Paul sums it all up. He said, everywhere he went, first in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, Judea, and all the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God. And that's what we need to do. And he said, and prove their repentance by their deeds. That's why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I've had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here now and testify to the small and great alike. But I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That Christ would suffer and at first and rise from the dead. Would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. He said, I'm not preaching any message that my forefathers and the Old Testament prophets hadn't preached. Last point I'll make is don't burn bridges. If you're going to witness people, wait for God to give you the opportunity. Be looking for opportunities. God will do that. Second is, do what? What's the second point? Have a well-prepared testimony. And number three is this, don't burn bridges behind you. Don't burn any bridges behind you. Verse 24 says, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. He said, you out of your mind, Paul. He shouted, your great learning is driving you insane. I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things. I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul replied, short time alone, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. That's good, wasn't it? Now here's the thing. King James says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, you think you can, in this short of time, you think you can do that? And Paul said, short time or long time, I just wish you had what I had. And you're the one that I know. And the Bible says in verse 30, the king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice, his sister, and those sitting with them, they left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. And then the last verse says, Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he did not appeal to Caesar. I want to say that last point is, Paul didn't burn any bridges. He left the door. They respected him. I think that he made an impact on them. He said, I wish everybody could be a Christian like I am. And they said, this man's done nothing that deserves death. He could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. But God has said he's going. God had told him, you're going to go to Rome. And Paul was on his way. I believe this. I believe if you are willing, God will arrange circumstances in your life. If you'll do these three things and you witness. Number one, if you wait for God to give you an opportunity, the right opportunity. And then number two, have a well-prepared testimony. And then number three, don't burn any bridges. Leave the door open. A lot of people, and I've had this a number of times, even here since I've been your pastor. I've gone to see people, and it takes time for that seed to germinate. But I plant some gospel seeds. And I've seen people, sometimes after a year, 2 years, I've seen people after many years, that they come to Christ if we don't burn bridges. We don't belittle them. Don't talk down to them, your friends. But just live before them. Treat them with gentleness and respect like Paul did. When he stood trial, he did it in a dignified way. And God's going to give him a chance. He's going to have more chances. Even though these, many of them in Acts, they never said yes as far as we know. We don't know what happened. But he planted that seed.